Well, it is a blessing to be here again, and Sarah and I have had a lot of fun on deputation, and it's a lot of work, too, but we've had a lot of fun, and we've been in a lot of great churches, and we appreciate being at Waguanago Baptist Church, and it's a blessing for us to see how God is moving you all forward, and that's an encouragement to us. A missionary, I think if there was probably one thing that I would want, probably more than anything else, would be to have a group of churches in America that are moving forward by faith and are standing by the faith and convictions that they have and moving forward in their ministries. And that is a great privilege for a missionary to have. I hear things from older missionaries who come back and realize that their supporting churches aren't the same as they were 20 years ago when they went on deputation. And that's a great tragedy. And I'm thankful for Waguanago Baptist Church, and I pray that God continues to use all of your lives. And Sarah and I appreciate the gift basket and everything you've done to put that together, and we appreciate that also. We're in Romans chapter 16 tonight. Romans chapter 16. And the theme of our conference is fellow laborers together with God. And the work of church planting around the world is the heart of God. It is God's heart and passion is to see churches planted, to see disciples made around the world. And God is very interested in that happening in our day. I remember being in Budapest 2 or 3 years ago, and God just burdening my heart with the reality that nobody, for all intents and purposes, nobody was going to ever confront the people that I was looking at with the gospel there in the city of Budapest. And I told the Lord, I said, God, if you would call me to this place, I would give myself to reaching these people. It's God's heart that every single human being on this planet would be saved, would be discipled, would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth and so forth. That is God's heart. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, was certainly a man that had that heart. And he was used greatly to plant churches. You read that story in the book of Acts. It's largely the story of the Apostle Paul in the church planting movement that he started. It's the story of the churches that he planted personally. It's the story of churches that were planted by people that Paul trained. It's the story of the young men that Paul had together with him in that church planting endeavor that he trained, that he delegated, that he sent out to other cities to be church planters there. And Paul was involved in that. And in Romans chapter 16, we find, however, that there was an entire group of people that supported that man, the Apostle Paul, in his church planting endeavor. And these people were fellow laborers. They were helpers. They worked together with him in his ministry. We read about them in Romans chapter 16. And I'm just going to read down through this list. It's a rather long list, but I'm going to read through this here. Paul is writing here. He's writing to the Romans, and I believe he's in Corinth as he's writing this. That's what most people believe. But he says here, I commend you, Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus, and Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. That's a long group of people. And there's more as you get down to verse 21 here. These are the people that are with Paul at the moment. And he says, Timotheus, my work fellow, and Lucius, and Jason, and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church, saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you. And Cordus, a brother, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, that's a long list of folks. Every single one of those people had some measure of impact in Paul's life. They were either laboring together with him at the time, or they were people that had helped him in the past. But all of these people were identified, that first list, those are all people that are identified with an assembly of saints in Rome. They were part of a local assembly of believers. That's who these people were. They were involved in that local assembly, the local church there in Rome. And these people all provided primarily spiritual support to the Apostle Paul. In fact, in the New Testament, to my knowledge, Paul only mentions one church, the church at Philippi, that did anything to regularly support him financially and help him out in that way. For the most of Paul's ministry, he worked a job and he supported himself and the needs of the people that traveled with him. And really what Paul acknowledges all these folks for is a spiritual support of Paul's ministry. And I'd like to ask the question tonight, what put people in this group of folks? What was it about these folks that God seemed to see fit to include their names in the Word of God for all eternity? You know, what was it about these folks? What qualities did they have in their life that Paul saw fit to mention them as being the key people in his life that helped his ministry? You know, if the Apostle Paul was living today and he was one of the missionaries that this church supported, who in this church, out in this congregation, would be the people that the Apostle Paul would write and say, greet that guy, okay? Because he was a blessing to our ministry. He helped our ministry. He was a support to our ministry. Or, that young lady or that older man, older lady, they were a blessing to our ministry. They supported us. You know, what is it that caused Paul to list these people here in this list? And I would like to ask that question tonight. The Bible doesn't tell us a lot about most of these people. Some of them you find multiple places in the Bible, especially the ones that Paul was with there at the end of the chapter. But there's one couple in this chapter that God tells us a significant amount of information about, and that is Aquila and Priscilla. And if you've ever studied the Bible, you've learned about those two people, husband and wife, and the work that they did for the Lord. The Bible gives us a glimpse into the life of Aquila and Priscilla, especially in Acts chapter 18. And I believe that there were four qualities in Aquila's life, four qualities that made him an effective helper, effective fellow laborer to the Apostle Paul. And if we are to be effective fellow laborers for our missionaries tonight, I believe we must have the same four qualities in our lives that Aquila and his wife had. And I would like to look at those four qualities in the time that we have tonight. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you'd stir our hearts with your divine illustration of this man's life and what he accomplished. And Lord, would you make us like him? Father, would you give us the values that he had in his life? And Lord, would you use each of us to further the cause of church planting around the world here in America and in every country of the world? Lord, would you make your truth clear to us tonight? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Aquila and Priscilla, would you turn to Acts chapter 18? That's where we find the bulk of information about Aquila's life and the life of his wife. And we find out about Aquila in Acts chapter 18 in verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought. For by their occupation, they were tent makers. First thing about Aquila's life is that Aquila understood the difference between his calling in life and his occupation in life. He understood the difference between his calling in life and his occupation in life. You see, Paul was a tent maker just like Aquila was, and they were able to work together in that particular field. And, you know, as you go throughout the New Testament, you never find the Apostle Paul saying, God called me to be a tent maker. You never see him using that phrase. You never see Aquila ever in this passage saying, God called me to be a tent maker with my life. You see, God has got a calling on every single one of our lives, whether you're a young person, whether you're an older person. God has got a calling in your life, and in the Bible, it is something different than your occupation or your trade or that kind of thing that you do to make a living. It is something that is separate from your skills. It is something that is separate from your talents and abilities, and God has told us in His Word that He has got a calling on every single one of our lives. And that is the word that God uses for that. He uses the word occupation here for Aquila's job that he had, his field of work. And if you would turn to Ephesians chapter 4, God describes that calling for us in the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 4, the book of Ephesians is really written about the doctrine of the church, what a church is, how a church comes into being, what a church is supposed to be like. And as you're turning to Ephesians 4, I'm going to read the last verse of chapter 3. God says, unto him, unto God, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I therefore, verse 1 of chapter 4, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. That calling and that vocation in the context of this chapter has everything to do with God receiving glory through the church of Jesus Christ. That is what that calling is about. And God describes that in Ephesians chapter 4. He says, further down in verse 4, he says, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. All of us have been gifted. All of us have received divine ability from the Holy Spirit of God to do something in the local church to further the cause of God through His church. God wants to give every single one of us the ability to have a spiritual ministry in the local church. Some of those gifts are listed here in Ephesians chapter 4. He talks in verse 11 about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But God has given every single one of us a gifting and a calling and a ministry to fulfill in having a spiritual impact on people's lives. As we'll see a bit later, we'll get into detail about how that played out in Aquila's life. But God wants us to find satisfaction in whatever that calling and whatever that gifting is. If you're going to get to the end of your life and say, I've fulfilled my life, I've done what God wanted me to do with my life, I've lived out my calling, it is vitally important that you know what that is and that you're involved in doing that. And I believe the most helpful list in the New Testament as far as these giftings and callings and so forth is found in Romans chapter 12. And would you turn there with me? I know I'm having to turn to a lot of chapters here. But it's just, I really want us to see this tonight. God has a calling on your life. He had a calling on Aquila's life. And it was something that was separate from his occupation. Romans chapter 12, I'm going to read beginning in verse 4. Romans chapter 12 and verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And I'm not going to deal with prophecy here tonight for the sake of time. But beginning in verse 7, we'll focus on these here. Or ministry, Let us wait on our ministry. You know, God is looking for somebody in His church that will get involved in meeting people's needs in the church and meeting the needs of the church. You know, God needs somebody to be a minister in the church. And that is a spiritual ministry when it is done in union with the Spirit of God and it is done with a sacrificial heart of service to God. That is a spiritual ministry. He continues here. He says, or he that teacheth. On teaching, you know, the Holy Spirit of God is looking for somebody in this congregation that He can use to systematically explain the Bible to other people. There's a need for that today. You know, when somebody gets saved, they need somebody to come into their life and systematically explain Bible truth to them. There are people that have a need for that, and God is looking to use people in this congregation right here to do that work. He says in verse 8, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. That's the same word that's translated comforter, referring to the work of the Holy Spirit. And God is looking for somebody in the church, in a congregation like this. He's looking for people that He can give the ability to come into somebody's life and put their arm around them and say, I'm going to help you get from point A to point B where God wants you to be in your life. It could be somebody who's not saved yet. It could be somebody who's been saved for a long time. But God can use people to exhort other folks in and through the church and come alongside them and go with them and say, God has somewhere He wants you to be. God has a plan for your life. God has a vision for your life, and I'm going to help you get there. And that is what an exhorter does. It says, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. You know, for the work of God to go forward, God is looking for people that He can give that ability to give without thinking about it. Give it with simplicity. Give it without, you know, considering all the ramifications and, you know, are we going to, is this all going to work out for us? But God is looking for people who will give sacrificially to the work of His ministry. He needs people like that. He continues, he that ruleth with diligence. There's a need for leadership in the church today. You know, without a pastor, a church really struggles. You know, we've been in churches without pastors, and there's a lot of hardships. That, you know, they're making it. I mean, they're surviving. They have guys come in and preach and so forth. But there is a job that a shepherd does in a church that is absolutely indispensable. God needs people like that. God needs people who will be missionaries and be church planters on the mission field. God needs people who will lead the various ministries of the church. Somebody's got to be in that position of leadership. God will give folks the ability to do that. And then it ends with, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. You know, some people in the church are really hard to love. I mean, honestly, you know, every church has folks that, you know, maybe they're not members, maybe they are members, and they only show up whenever there's a potluck or whenever there's, you know, free food or something like that going on. And, you know, there's people that have all kinds of issues in their life in every church. And God is looking for people in this congregation that He can give the ability to show mercy to those folks, that He can give that supernatural grace to come into that person's life and put their arm around them and say, I'm going to show you the kindness of Christ. Now, this list here in Romans chapter 12, this is the list of things the Holy Spirit is going to give people the ability to do in His church. This is the list of things that God is going to call us to in reference to Ephesians chapter 4. And if you're going to live out your calling, I would encourage you to go through this list and ask the Lord, how do you want to use me in this church to impact people for Christ? And that is the primary question in our life. God wants us to find that satisfaction in our calling. Aquila understood that there was a difference between his occupation and his calling. I remember the time in my life when God brought me to that point. I graduated from Pensacola Christian College with a mechanical engineering degree, and there's nothing wrong with being a mechanical engineer. But I remember the summer that I graduated, the summer after I graduated, I started working as a bus captain in our church out in Pennsylvania, and that was a great experience for me. The guy that was the bus captain before me, he kind of stepped down and wanted to go to Sunday school with his wife, go to the couples class and so forth, and he was like saved out of drugs and gangs and stuff in downtown Philadelphia. I mean, he was like this, you know, he had an incredible testimony, and the kids loved him. He loved the kids, and he had a great group of folks there. And I stepped on the bus, and I was this, you know, nerdy engineer who never, you know, lived in the city before or anything. And I remember over those years, those couple years before I ended up at Baptist College of Ministry, I remember God really showing me for the first time in my life what he could do through my life that was spiritual, that was absolutely supernatural, that could change people's lives. And it was all of God. And, you know, ministering to inner city kids is not something that I was born with the ability to do. I don't think anybody's born with the ability to do that. But I certainly wasn't born with that ability. And I remember for the first time in my life, I saw God use me in an area that I had absolutely no talent and skill and ability in, really. And I've been involved in music ministry my whole life, pretty much. I think I played my first offertory when I was 8 or something. And I had a really good teacher growing up, and that was a big part of my life. And there's a spiritual aspect of music ministry. I don't want to downplay that. I was at a point in my life as a 20-year-old where I could, I could minister in music with my eyes closed without thinking about it. You know, I mean, that was what I did all my life. I mean, that was my thing. And when I got involved in bus ministry for the first time in my life, God put me in an area where the Spirit of God did something supernatural through my life. And that was an exciting thing. And I remember over that first year, God began to change my perspective on being an engineer. And I began to look at engineering as really the means to financially support the ministry that God had called me to in the local church. And I remember when God changed that in my thinking. And it was only about a year after that, I met an evangelist and he challenged me about my life. And I told the Lord, I want to be like that. And I want to be a preacher. Aquila understood that difference. He says, I am a tent maker by occupation. That's how God describes him. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote letters, he said, I am Paul, called to be an apostle. Paul understood what his calling was. And, for Paul, it wasn't being a businessman versus being a preacher. He did both of those things, all right? But he understood that he was a preacher by calling. That was what God, the Holy Spirit, had gifted him and given him the ability to do. And Aquila understood that, first of all. Second thing we see about Aquila's life, and we'll move quickly through these. Aquila was dedicated to supporting the church planter. He not only understood the difference between his calling and his occupation, but he understood, or he was dedicated to supporting the church planter. Would you look with me at verses 18 and 19 of chapter 18 in the book of Acts, if you're still there? It says, and after Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Kenchrea, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. So the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 18, verses 18 and 19, that Aquila was dedicated to supporting the church planter. You know, Aquila had a business. He had a tent-making business, and I'm sure he made really good tents. I'm sure he was good at that. And Aquila, I'm sure, had a network of business contacts in that city of Corinth. I'm sure living in that city, it was a metropolitan area, there would have been a lot of trade going on. There would have been a lot of people moving into that area and so forth. And Aquila probably had a really good business going there in the city of Corinth. And Aquila, when Paul left Corinth to go to Ephesus, Aquila uprooted his entire family. He uprooted his entire business. He said goodbye to all of his business contacts. He said goodbye to this network of people that he knew in Corinth, in all of that. And he sailed across the Aegean Sea with the Apostle Paul to the city of Ephesus, which would have been hundreds of miles away. And he gets to the city of Ephesus and he joins himself and he dedicates himself to Paul's work in church planting. We find out, you don't have to turn back to Romans 16, but we find out that Paul, or Aquila and Priscilla, Paul says they have laid down their own necks for me, for the cause of church planting. That's the kind of guy Aquila was. I mean, when it came to the cause of missions, when it came to the cause of church planting, Aquila was like, it doesn't matter what my family has to sacrifice. It doesn't matter what I personally have to sacrifice. I want to get involved in this work of missions, wherever it is. I'm going to get involved in this city of Corinth where I am. You know, here's this missionary. He comes to our city. He plants a church here. I want to get involved in that. I want my family involved in that. That is what is going to be important in our lives. And then when the missionary left Corinth, Aquila said, you know what, we're going to take our family, we're going to move to Ephesus, and we're going to be a part of what Paul is doing there in that city. That was a huge decision. That was an enormous decision. You know, what is the most important thing in your life and your family? You know, you can support church planting by supporting the ministry of your local church. And really, not all of us have the opportunity, like Aquila, to uproot our family and go to the mission field along with the missionary. I think that would be a great idea. You're welcome to come to Hungary or to Cameroon. We would love to have you out there. But Aquila dedicated himself to the cause of church planting. And when you dedicate yourself to the ministry that is going on in this church right here, you are part of a local church that is producing missionaries and sending missionaries all around the world. And whether you end up on a mission field or not, if you will dedicate yourself to the cause of missions, if you will dedicate yourself to what God is doing in changing people's lives through this church, God will use you to produce missionaries. God will use you to send and support those missionaries in the field. So first of all, Aquila understood the difference between his occupation and his calling. Secondly, he was dedicated to supporting the church planter. Thirdly, we find out that Aquila used his spiritual gifts to impact people spiritually. He did that several ways. The first way that he did that was through a teaching ministry. If you look further down in Acts chapter 18, verse 24, this is when Aquila and Priscilla are in Ephesus. The Bible says, a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And so here's this guy, and he's a believer. He believes that the Messiah is coming. He has, to a certain extent, put his faith in the Messiah for salvation, but he has no clue who Jesus is. He has no clue about New Testament Christianity. He has no clue about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He has no clue about the church or about any of these things. And the Bible says in verse 26 that he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And then Aquila and Priscilla heard him, and the Bible says they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So here's this guy Aquila, right? He's a tent maker, right? He's not a preacher. He's not a missionary. He makes tents, but he gets involved in this guy Apollos' life, and he comes alongside this guy Apollos, and instead of saying, come on, you wacko, we're in New Testament Christianity. Why are you saying all this stuff about, John the Baptist, and, we gotta baptize people the way John did, or I don't know everything that he was saying, okay? But Aquila kind of went through all that, and he said, you know what? I can show you from the Bible what God wants to do with your life. I can show you what New Testament Christianity is all about. And Aquila got involved in this guy Apollos' life. And the Word of God says that Apollos ended up going to Achaia, where Corinth was. And in verse 28, the Bible says he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. This guy Apollos was one of the greatest preachers in the New Testament. I mean, he was powerful. I mean, the Bible says he was an eloquent man. He had large portions of the Bible memorized. He knew how to preach the Word of God to folks. And he had a powerful ministry in the city of Corinth there. The Bible says that he convinced the Jews publicly that Jesus was the Christ. And he brought other people through the same truths that Aquila and Priscilla had taught him. So this guy Aquila used his spiritual gifts to impact people spiritually. Apollos wouldn't have been where he was if that guy Aquila had not gotten involved in his life. He was also involved in ministry. You don't have to turn to it, but 1 Corinthians 16:19, Paul is greeting folks. And he says, salute Priscilla and Aquila with the church that is in their house. This is when they're still at Ephesus. Aquila and Priscilla salute you along with the church that is in their house. Aquila and Priscilla had bought a house, apparently, in the city of Ephesus, and they had used that place for a church to be planted there, for people to meet together there. Aquila and Priscilla ministered to people through ministry. They ministered to people through ministry, not just through teaching, but they ministered to people. They opened up their home to have all the people of this new church meet there. They were committed to this thing. I mean, they were the ones that had to clean their house for everybody to come there. They had to, make the breakfast casserole for Sunday school or whatever. I mean, they were the ones that, opened the doors of the church. They closed the doors of the church. They were committed to this church planting thing. And so Aquila used his spiritual gifts to impact people spiritually. And then finally, Aquila brought his family with him in the ministry. Aquila understood, first of all, the difference between his occupation and his calling. He, secondly, was dedicated to supporting church planting. And then thirdly, he used his spiritual gifts to impact people spiritually. And finally, Aquila brought his family with him in the ministry. The Bible doesn't record for us that Aquila and Priscilla ever had any kids. I don't know if they did or not. But the Bible, whenever Aquila is mentioned in the Bible, he's always mentioned in conjunction with his wife. Really, all these things that we've said about Aquila, apart from the tent-making thing, I don't know if Priscilla made tents or not. I don't know if women did that back then. But, you know, I mean, apart from that, okay, everything that Aquila did here, he's doing it together with his wife. And his wife was a key aspect of his ministry. They both worked together. They both worked together in their teaching ministry. They both worked together in opening up their home for a church to be planted there in their house. They worked together. Aquila's wife was his fellow helper, and Aquila's wife shared his heart for the ministry. You know, what values do you pass on to your children? You know, if you want to be a person like Aquila, if you want to be a person that is a fellow helper to the work of a church anywhere, whether it's here, whether it's on the mission field, you've got to be the kind of person that passes on the value of ministry to your family. You know, I can imagine for Aquila, ministry was not a duty to him. It was not something that was, you know, oh man, we got to go to church. We got soul winning tonight. We got to show up for this and, you know, drag the family out to that. I don't think that's what it was like in Aquila's life. I don't think he had the attitude of, you know, oh man, you know, we have another work day at church and, you know, we got to, you know, make our house bigger so that more people can meet here. And, you know, man, we got to go through all this. And, you know, I guess we're going to do it because it's, you know, what we're supposed to do. I don't think that was Aquila's heart and his burden. Aquila had a spiritual burden for ministry, and he passed that on to his family. And you know, when it comes to our young people, our children, and God has not given Sarah and I children yet, we pray for that. But when it comes to young people will become what we emphasize in their lives. They will become that. They really will. And you know, young people will become what we admire about them in their lives. And, you know, so often today, young people grow up in church, and I grew up in a good church. But in the church that I grew up in, I was basically told, Mike, you're really good at playing the piano. Your calling in life is being a piano player, and God forbid you ever do anything but that with your life. I mean, that's essentially what I was told by folks in my church growing up. And I remember it just being drilled into my head that whatever my talent and ability was, that is what God had called me to do with my life. And there was a point in my life where God changed that, and that's why I'm a preacher today, all right? I mean, that's a huge deal. And the issue isn't that everybody in this church is going to become a preacher. I think that would be great if every kid in this church became a preacher, all right? I think that would be awesome. But God's purpose in our lives, as far as our children are concerned, the question is not, does God want you to be a firefighter? Does God want you to be a policeman? The real question in your life as a young person is, how does God want to use me in ministry to impact people through my church? Aquila understood that, and he passed that value on to his family. You know, the guy was a tent maker. You know, I'm sure he had a great business going. You know, for that matter, his partner, the Apostle Paul, I'm sure Paul made really, really good tents, honestly. I mean, how would you like to have in a tent that was signed by the Apostle Paul? I mean, can you imagine that, all right? I mean, you know, the guy was probably had a phenomenal business, okay? He was probably really good at what he does. And the reality is both Aquila and Paul, there was a time in their life where they put effort into developing job skills, and they were able to support their family by being tent makers. You know, there's value in that. I mean, there's value in educating your kids and having them graduate from high school or graduate from college or whatever, and have the ability to earn a living and support their family. That is certainly important. I'm not preaching against that. But the bigger question in your life is not, does God want me to be a doctor? Or does God want me to be an engineer? The question is, how does God want to use me in the church that I'm a part of right here? How does God want to use my life to impact people spiritually? And you know, it really comes down to what is the need of the day in this church? What is the need on the mission field? That's the question. I believe that God gifts people to do all those different things, ministry, exhortation, teaching, giving, leading, helping, and so forth, and giving and showing mercy. I believe that God will give people the ability to do those things depending on what the needs of this church are and depending on what the needs are around the world. I believe that's how God works in that. And he tells, Paul told Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, he said, if any man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Then he goes through the list of character qualities there. You know, the group of people that God calls out missionaries from is a group of people that want to be missionaries. And it's really not rocket science in that respect. And really, you could go through any of those spiritual gifts. God is going to give somebody the ability to teach who looks out into the church and say, you know what, there's a need for teaching in that person's life. And God, if you would give me the ability to do that, I want to get involved in doing that. God will give those people that ability. Is there a need in somebody's life in this church for exhortation? We use the word discipleship to refer to a lot of those things, but these are all aspects of discipleship. You know, is there a need in somebody's life for somebody to confront them and say, you know what, I want to take you from point A to point B? Well, I can guarantee you the Spirit of God is looking for somebody in this congregation that's going to say, you know what, God, if you give me the ability, I want to get involved in that person's life like that. God will use the people who want to be used in those different areas of ministry. And the Spirit of God will give you the ability to do something that is absolutely supernatural through your life. Nobody takes a vocational aptitude test and has it come out of the Scantron machine saying you ought to be a missionary. Okay, that doesn't happen, all right? I took one of those when I was in high school, all right? They ask you all those crazy questions like, do you like tying things in knots and do you like colors? I don't know how they figure all that out, but, it pops out with this thing, this is what your career is. None of those tests ever end up with anybody being a missionary. It really doesn't. Nobody who's a missionary today is a missionary because they were born with a great ability to be a missionary. They really aren't. Nobody ever gets involved in discipling somebody because they were born with this great ability to disciple folks. Nobody ever gives sacrificially because they were just born with this ability to give their money away to people. All right? That doesn't happen. All right? All of those things are absolutely supernatural, and it doesn't matter if you're a shy person. It doesn't matter if you don't know a lot about the Bible, God can help you with that. God can give you boldness. God can give you the words to say to people. God can give you a heart for people that are unlovely. And the Spirit of God can do something supernatural through your life to impact people. And that is the value that you have got to pass on to your young people. And that is the value that they have got to grow up having. We basically taught young people in many churches of this country that, as long as you pass out gospel tracts at work, you are fulfilling your calling on your life. That's absolutely foreign to the Bible, okay? Those folks in the city of Ephesus where Paul talked about their vocation and calling, a lot of those folks were slaves. They had no choice as to what their occupation in life was going to be. Most of these folks in the city of Corinth, they came from a poor background, the Bible tells us. There weren't a lot of noble people, not a lot of rich people. If you were to walk into those people's church there in Corinth and tell all those slaves, all those low-income, subsistence-living people, you know what? You guys have got basketball ability. God has called you to be a basketball coach in a Christian school somewhere. Okay, I mean, that would have been foreign to their thinking, all right? And folks, regardless of what your talents or abilities, and God will always use your abilities and your talents wherever you are. God is going to use me in music ministry there in Hungary, okay? But regardless of what those talents or abilities are, regardless of what abilities and talents your kids have, God wants to use them to impact people with their life, and they've got to value that with their life. And they've got to come out of Christian college valuing local church ministry. That is a huge thing in their life. What are you passing on? What value are you passing on to your children? Is the ministry of the church here the most important thing in mom and dad's lives at home? Is that the most important thing in your life? Or is it your job? Is it your career? Is it, all these great things that you're doing with your life? Or is it what is going on through the local church? Folks who value local church ministry will be used to reproduce that kind of ministry all over the world. All those people, including Aquila and Priscilla, all those folks in that list in Romans 16, they were all local church members of a church somewhere. God used them first there, and it was that group of people that Paul ended up calling, you know, I want you to come with me. I want you to come to the mission field with me. I want you to help me in my ministry. You know, Paul got all those people. He didn't get them from a Bible college. Right? He got them from his supporting churches. He got them from churches that he had planted. He got them from churches that were spiritually a part of his ministry. That's where missionaries come from. Okay? It's not the responsibility of a Bible college to produce missionaries. All right, we delegate that responsibility for their training and so forth, and that's not necessarily wrong. But it's the responsibility of this local church to produce missionaries, and it's the responsibility of the members of this church to inculcate in those kids a heart for ministry, a heart for what the Spirit of God can do, a vision and a faith for what the Spirit of God can do that's supernatural through their lives. That is powerful. In a church that adopts that value, we'll see people in that church, regardless of what their occupation is, we'll see people in that church be used in ministry, both here in America and around the world. You will have a heart to support what is going on all around the world. And the real question tonight is, what are you going to be known for at the end of your life? You know, Aquila is not known as being a really great tent maker. He's really not. And I'm sure he made great tents. All right. I don't deny that. But you don't get to the end of Aquila's life and say, wow, that guy was a really great tent maker to the glory of God. I mean, you don't really get that, okay, from reading through that. But you say, man, here's a guy who was gifted of God. God enabled him to teach. God enabled him to minister to people. God used him in Apollos' life. God used him in Paul's life. God used him in church planting. That's what you come away from Aquila's life, believing and remembering about it. If Paul were to write a letter about Maguanago Baptist Church and say, you know, here's the list of folks that have addicted themselves to ministry in that church that are all about seeing the Spirit of God doing something supernatural through their lives. You know, whose names would he put on that list? Would he put your name on that list? Would he say, brother so-and-so, you know, he was a great help to us in our ministry. When we ministered there in Maguanago, they met our needs. They were involved in what was going on in that church. God was using their lives in that city in a great way to spiritually impact people. Would your name be on that list? God wants your name on that list. And it's, you know, all of us are weak, okay? None of us have any human ability to do what God has called us to do. You know, and if you're a Sunday school teacher, a discipler, a minister in the church here, you don't have the ability to do what God has called you to do. But God can do something incredible through your life. That is absolutely supernatural, just like he did through Aquila's life, this tent maker, this, you know, just normal everyday guy. But God used his life in a great way, and he's remembered for that for all eternity. And God can use your life like that. That is what we need today. We need fellow laborers that will dedicate themselves to seeing the Spirit of God use them in ministry right here and around the world. Let's pray. Father, would you use our lives in that way? Would you use the folks of this church in that way? And Lord, would you raise up missionaries from this congregation? Lord, would you raise up Christian ministers that will be involved in discipling folks and giving themselves to people financially and spiritually? Lord, would you move among us and give us the faith and courage to get involved in the work of the ministry here in America and around the world? Lord, would you do that work, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.